Good morning and welcome to Grace Bible Church this morning. We're excited to have you. If you look, turn with me to Philippians. It's been a couple months. I had a little break there for a little while, and now we're excited to be back, and we're going to get back into expository preaching. So in Philippians chapter 1, it's our text, and I would encourage you over the next couple months, we'll be here for probably, you know, 3 or 4 months, but read through the book of Philippians. Read it as much as possibly as you can. Familiarize yourself with it. There's so much to learn from the book of Philippians. The epistle to the Philippians, commonly referred to as Philippians, it's a Pauline epistle. The epistle is attributed to Paul the Apostle, as well as a co-author named Timothy. And it's addressed to the Christian church in Philippi. It was written approximately, Paul and Silas first visited Philippi in Greece during Paul's second missionary journey, which occurred between approximately 49 and 51 AD. Philippi was the location of the first Christian community established in Greece. So who is Paul? Who is this guy? He used to be called Saul of Tarsus. They all have him born right around the time that Jesus was born. And some say 2 or 3 BC, some put 2 or 3 AD, so sometime around then. How old was he when he wrote Philippians? Most people have him between 65 and 70. In Paul's childhood and youth, Paul learned how to work with his own hand, his hands. His trade was tent making, which he continued to practice after his conversion to Christianity. So he built tents. He was able to go around and hope that can help you visualize who he was, how he was, how old he was, as well as he was in prison when he wrote this letter to the church at Philippi. Second person here in the book is Timothy. Timothy was from Lycaonia, the city of Lystra in Asia Minor. He was born of a Jewish mother who had become a Christian believer and a Greek father. The Apostle Paul met him during his second missionary journey, and he became Paul's companion and co-worker along with Silas. The New Testament indicates Timothy traveled with Paul, and Paul was his mentor. Paul entrusted him with important assignments, and he is addressed as the recipient of the first and second epistle to Timothy. Timothy is mentioned multiple times throughout Scripture in Acts chapter 16. He's mentioned of Eunice and his grandmother Lois are mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And a lot of people believe that Timothy was led to the Lord by Paul. So those are our two characters here that we have this morning. And before we dive into the Scriptures, let's open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the church at Philippi. We thank you for the heart of the Apostle Paul. We thank you that even though he was in this time of stuck in prison, that he was still preaching about joy. We can have joy in uncertain times. We can have joy in struggles. We can have joy in temptations. We can always have our joy. I just pray as we look at these first two verses in Philippians here that we'll both grow and learn this morning. And again, we thank you for a wonderful morning, Lord, and we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen. So Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I talked about this a little bit last week, but the letter to the Philippians has been known as the epistle of joy, or the letter of joy. You can find the word joy, you can find the word rejoicing throughout this entire book. 20 centuries ago, a tent maker by the name of Paul, he was tossed into prison for creating a public disturbance. As he's in prison in the city of Rome, he takes it upon himself to use the time well. Through that time, he writes many epistles, several of which have within the New Testament. Paul here is writing a letter to the Philippians. Paul's greeting in each and every book begins with almost a unique as well as similar beginning. If you look over here with me to 1 Timothy, and you can look at the beginning of each and every one. In 1 Timothy, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. He begins each and every beginning with the same thing. 2 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. The only part that he didn't put here in Philippians is that he was an apostle, that he was the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it was mainly because the church at Philippi already knew that. He didn't have to defend that. He didn't have to argue that. He didn't have to say, hey, this is who I am. It was already addressed. The church at Philippi believed it. But the main question is, who is this Apostle Paul? Why does he all of a sudden think he has authority to address the churches? Why does he think he all of a sudden has wisdom to instruct and even sometimes rebuke the churches? And when you go through the New Testament and Paul's writings, I came across 53 references to show Paul's apostleship. We're not going to go through each and every one, but real quick, just if you look back to Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 9 is when Saul turned into Paul. He was on the road to Damascus and he was blinded. And this is at the point that he becomes the apostle to the Gentiles. You can see in Acts chapter 9, 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. You can see in Acts 13, 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it away from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Again, he's talking about the nation of Israel. Since it was spoken to you first and you rejected it, you didn't accept it, we're done, we turn to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul was saved for a program as this. Look at Acts chapter 22. And always, always remember that what the Apostle Paul wrote was written by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 22, verse 21, he says, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Jump to the next book, Romans chapter 2, 16. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. The Apostle Paul was not prideful. He was not haughty. He was not. He didn't think himself better than everyone else. This is what the Holy Spirit told him to write. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. It's according to the Apostle Paul's gospel. It's according to the message that was revealed to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jump on to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. Again, the nation of Israel, but rather through their fall, the nation of Israel fell, that salvation would come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. The Apostle Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. This is what he was called to do. This is what he was saved to do. This is what his message was. Look at Romans 16, 25. Just a few more. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Again, he calls it his gospel. If it was the same gospel from the Old Testament, he wouldn't say my gospel. If it was the same gospel that the 12 were preaching, he wouldn't say my gospel. He would just say the gospel. It's very crucial to see. and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. This gospel, the mystery, the dispensation of the age of grace, was kept secret since the world began and only revealed to the Apostle Paul. But now is made manifest. Now it's revealed. Now it's open up to us. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sakes, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. No one else could say this but the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus was blinded. He was taken up. He was taught a new message. He was taught the mystery. He was taught the dispensation of the age of grace. He was taught the rapture. He was taught about the body of Christ. You can't find that anywhere else. We now live in the dispensation of the grace of God. And lastly, turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. The Apostle Paul again says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." If he was teaching the same thing that the 12 and Peter and all them were teaching, why would he say that it was revealed to him from the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would he say that I have the gospel which was preached of me, but it's not after man? If it was brought to him from man, if it was the same message that was being preached, this would not be here. "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God." The Apostle Paul was persecuting the church. "And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen," which is the Gentiles, "immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Again, he was revealed a message. It was a message that is not after man. He neither received it of man, neither was he taught it by man. It was revealed to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And even after he was saved, in verse 16, "to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." He did not go to Peter and say, "What are you out there preaching? What are you out there teaching?" Peter and the 12 were teaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and be baptized. Believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now Paul comes on and says, "The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what saves you. And that is the only thing that can save you." This is why the Apostle Paul all of a sudden had authority. He was not supposed to be the 12th disciple. He was not called to be anything else. The Word of God did not mess up. He was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles because the nation of Israel rejected God the Father. So that is where he gets his authority from. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. As I studied this, the word servant is a very calming word, I think, to us. But if you go back to the Greek word is actually doulos, which is actually slave. You know, if I'm going to choose whether I want to be a servant or a slave, I'll take a servant. You know, normally a servant is somebody that works. You can think of a butler, or you can think of somebody that, hey, I'm getting paid, you're doing this. A slave is a master. Master and a slave. You could think of it that way. But one of my points this morning, I think godly leaders must see themselves as a slave or a servant of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul and Timothy thought themselves that they were slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said, slave is a cringeworthy word. Slavery is imposed on you. We can't choose to be a slave or not. Slave is purchased. And we were bought with a price. We were bought with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ purchased us. And you can see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, it says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Look at Galatians chapter 3 again. Galatians chapter 3. Christ hath, 3:13, sorry about that. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be of man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuleth or addeth thereto." We are purchased with a price. We are bought. We are redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are then become a slave because we belong to Him. You know, a slave, all he can do is rely on the master. There's nothing else he can do besides rely on the master. And in today's world, with everything going on around us and we feel like things are crumbling apart, what a time to rely on the master. What a time to say, "Yes, Lord, I believe you have a plan for my life. You have a plan for the world. You have a plan for eternity. You have a plan." You know, in James 1:17, it says, "Every good gift and perfect gift is coming down from the Father." The Lord didn't, this isn't new to Him. We may not be able to picture it. We may not be able to see it. We don't know what the ultimate outcome is. But He is the master. We are the slave. And even as I get up here and preach every Sunday and share every Sunday, I'm not up here because I'm more eloquent than everybody else. I'm not more knowledgeable than everyone else. You know, it's what the Lord has called me to do, and He's the master and I'm the slave. Don't get me wrong. There's times that I buck and I say, "I'm not doing that, Lord." There's times that we don't want to give in. There's times that we don't want to do what He's calling us to do. You know, we feel the prick in our heart and we say, "I'm going to go this way." We hear, "Hey, I need to share the gospel." And we're like, "I'm going to turn this way." But everything we do, we need to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you can picture that analogy of the slave and the master, you know, be that slave to the master. Godly leaders must see themselves as a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Godly leaders must see the church the way Christ sees the church. You know, he continues on here, "Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus." All of the books that the Apostle Paul ever write are written to believers. Paul addresses everyone as believers. You know, he's not addressing certain people. He's not addressing the wealthy or looking for people that are famous or looking for the perfect last name. If you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is addressing you. He addresses everyone, the poor, the no names, the ones that are not known around the world. He addresses them. Think of the carnal ones at the Corinth. He addresses them as saints as well. If you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a saint. Look at Galatians chapter 3:28. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul is addressing everyone. If you have put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are a saint. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter where you come from, what country you're from, what city you're from, where your parents are. He is addressing everyone. The Apostle Paul goes on to say that all saints are in Christ Jesus. We're not saints because of how we behave. You know, I think many times we think it's based on what we do or how we act or what's going on. The word saint means to be set apart. You know, when Jesus Christ created Adam and Eve, they were one. And the minute they sinned, they were separated. And again, Jesus Christ had to buy us back. He had to purchase us. He had to redeem us. But as a saint, we belong to Christ. As a saint, we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was set apart to bring a message to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul was chosen. The Apostle Paul was picked to preach the dispensation of the grace of God, to preach the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me real quick to John chapter 6. Somebody this week on Facebook, and it actually broke my heart, and I'm trying to figure out how to handle it, but if you look at John chapter 6, the gentleman on there, in parentheses, wrote the gospel. And in John chapter 6, verse 52, this is what he believes is the gospel. John chapter 6, verse 52 says, "The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in you." They are putting all their power in communion. They're putting all their power in. There is nothing about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ here. Without the power of the resurrection, we cannot have salvation. If you turn over to me with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and until you rightly divide the word of truth, it does get confusing. We have to rightly divide. We have to figure out what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Peter and the 12, as in that passage, said he was talking to the Jews. That's a whole other thing. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Again, here is the gospel that is preached. This is the gospel that the Apostle Paul is talking about. When he says, "my gospel," this is what he's talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." This is the gospel. This is how you are saved. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." This is the gospel, the only gospel that can save us today. You have to put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection. You have to say, "yes, Lord, I believe that you went to the cross. Yes, Lord, I believe that you went to that cross to pay for my sins, that you rose again the third day." We can't behave long enough to become a saint. We can't be good enough to become a saint. We can't give enough to the church to become a saint. You know, a lot of people put St. Mary and St. Luke and St. Peter, and I'm not disagreeing, they're not saints, but we're all saints. We can all be called saint. So I need you to start calling me St. Nate. That'll work. St. Nate. If you put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you become a saint. We have to love the church and his people the way Christ loves his people. As I was studying this week and looking through Philippians, I was thinking of how I would react to the Apostle Paul before he was saved. You know, and I think many times we come across somebody that needs to hear the gospel and we may not get along with them. They may be in a different atmosphere than we're in. They may be a different, you know, I may be the weird one, but there's weird people out there, you know. But when I look at the Apostle Paul and I think of his life before he was saved, I would have never witnessed to him. I would have never walked up to him. I would have been scared of him. But when the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to be that slave to the master, we have to love the church. We have to love the unbelievers. We have to love everyone the way Christ loves his people. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Bishops and deacons and pastors, we need to guard the word of God. We need to preach doctrine. We need to protect it. We need to be sharing the gospel. If we don't raise up new leaders to take over the churches or to take over the word of God, who's going to do it? And the word bishop is just an overseer. We need to be following the way the Apostle Paul has called us to do. He has called us to be an example. We need to be that same example that the Apostle Paul. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. Here it says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." We need to follow him the way he follows Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. It doesn't mean that we worship Paul. It doesn't mean he's just an example. We follow him the way he follows Christ. I'm sure you guys all know about multi-level marketing or a pyramid scheme, but you can sort of see it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, for other foundation, verse 11, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is the foundation. The Apostle Paul has the blueprints. And if you want to think of it in a pyramid scheme, the Lord Jesus Christ is the CEO, the Apostle Paul is the first one in, and then we start building our triangles, whatever we want to call them. But again, the Apostle Paul is our example. And we can be examples to others. We can follow the Apostle Paul so others can follow us to learn about the death, burial, and resurrection. So they can learn about the mystery. So they can learn about the dispensation of the age of grace. We have to imitate Paul the way that he imitates Christ. And we'll just wrap this up with verse 2. It says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul put that in every single book he wrote. And as Jewish people, as the nation of Israel, as if anybody knew scripture and knew prophecy, the next thing to occur was going to be the tribulation. And when the Apostle Paul is saying, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father," we have a new message. We have the age of grace. We have peace. We have the mystery program. We now have grace and peace until the rapture occurs. You know, we may think it's end times right now. This is nothing compared to what it's going to be during the tribulation. Grace and peace be unto you. What words we can use today. What an amazing thing that we can go out and share with the world. What beautiful words. Grace essentially means gift. Grace is all that God is free to do because of the cross. Grace means that God has offered to all mankind and has especially showered upon believers a boundless measure of unmerited favor. Grace cannot be earned, but it must simply be received by faith. Peace is the result of receiving God's grace by faith. You can see in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what is echoed all the way through the book of Philippians. Grace and peace and joy. And as Paul and Timothy showed us, they're leaders here. I just pray that each and every one of us can be leaders to share the gospel. We need to imitate the Apostle Paul. We need to duplicate ourselves so we can grow the body of Christ. We all need to see ourselves as slaves. We need to see one another as saints. And especially, we need to see the church. We need to see the unbelievers the way that Christ sees the church and his people. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the book of Philippians. We're so excited to be able to tackle this book and learn what the Apostle Paul has written to the church of Philippi. That through it all, that we can have grace and peace. That through unknown times, through uncertainty, we can still have peace. That we know we won't have to go through the tribulation, that the rapture occurs and we are caught away to meet you in the Lord. If somebody today hasn't put their faith and trust in you, we just pray that they will say, yes, Lord, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know what you did on the cross of Calvary, and you did it for me. I believe that, and I can spend eternity with you, Lord. And I pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.